Hey, welcome everybody. I'd like to call this meeting of the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen to order. Regular meeting on Thursday, April 10th. The time is now 7:02. Please stand for the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Newberg?
Here.
Ms. Pettinici?
Here.
Here.
Ms. Berrios Pepe?
Here.
Present.
Here.
Mr. Chevarella?
Here.
Ms. Falcioni Smith? Mr. Hyder?
Here.
Can the record should reflect you have 8 members present, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, sir. Number 4, additions, deletions, corrections, and adoption of the agenda. I have none. Mr. Kurtic, any? None? Okay. Number 5, public portion. Anybody from the public like to speak?
Hi, this is Colleen Papa on 1 Stelmec Road. Just wondering if there's been any updates to the potential sale of one of the lots on the road.
That property was taken off.
It was taken off, so it's not included in any sort of sale?
No.
Oh, okay. What was it supposed to be?
It's city-owned property that we were thinking about selling, but we took it off, so hey, it's not for sale anymore.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else in the public like to speak?
For the members that are on Zoom, if you would like to speak in the public portion, please unmute your mic and state your name and address for the record.
Yes, good evening. Karen Chemises, 25 John Street. I welcome everybody out tonight on this cold spring night. I reviewed the department minutes or reports, and I want to thank Mr. Salway for his update on the solar cells and the revenue that's coming in on that. I see he's also working very diligently with the parking garage, and I would just want to remind everyone that at one point in time, the parking garage was thinking about using the empty lot over on Caroline Street as a temporary parking space if there was a need for doing any kind of maintenance on the garage. That parking space has since been given over to the Minerva Street development. So you really have to be thinking about, where are you going to be moving all of the cars in the parking garage at such a time that there's going to be work being done on it? Hopefully we'll have more done down on Main Street, but I don't know. There's not that many spots left for anybody to park vehicles in the downtown area. I'd also like to thank the building department. They are doing a yeoman's work down there with all of the permits. It certainly shows that the economy is doing well in Derby because people are still doing a lot of maintenance on their houses. I wish there was a lot of new construction, but at least we're seeing some activity. And I would like to thank all the members for being here tonight and spending all of their wonderful time where they could be at home enjoying different things on TV. Instead, they're serving the city. So thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Anybody else from the public like to speak? Barbara, hit the button. There you
go. Okay. Yep. Barbara DeGennaro, 51 Pigasset Road, Derby. I'm here to just try to speak briefly on something that is not on the agenda that I just was a part of recently. I recently filed my personal property tax declaration for the tax year 2024. And for those who, I'm sure probably 90% of people in this room aren't sure what that is, but when you have personal property and you have a business, you have to file with the city by November 1st declaration of your personal property within your business. So the 2024 declaration was due by November 1st of 2024, and it covered the year before into to 2024. I do not have a big personal property tax bill. My office was small. So I filed my declaration timely on October 31st. I hand delivered it like I've done for a number of years. I got a receipt from the from Lauren, and then in January 31st, I receive of 2025. I receive a letter that my gross assessment has gone up $600. No explanation. I have in the past appealed my declaration, the last one being in 2019. So when you fill it out, I literally fill out three sections of the entire 11-page, 12-page document. So I knew I had disposed of some property. I bought some new, I had a new computer. So I tried to calculate the numbers of what I filled out, and they weren't matching. So I filed an appeal, which I filed again timely. And the dates are statutory. They're by Connecticut general statute. So you have to follow the dates. So I filed my appeal timely, and I had my hearing on March 8th, which was a Saturday morning. And I did not come in person. I partook by Zoom with Alderman Kurtica and Tax Board Chair Colleen Ezzo. When I filed my appeal, I put on the form that, you know, it wasn't explained. I don't know what the change was. So at the meeting, and honestly, not their fault. And having been the board president, this board president, I served on that tax appeal board some years ago. And at that time, it's the same makeup. It's the tax board chair. It's the board of alderman president. The tax assessor at that time was Bob Coates. Bob sat downstairs in the tax assessor's office. He didn't partake in the actual appeal meeting, but he was there if there was any questions. And the treasurer was the third person on that appeals board, but we didn't have a treasurer this, so there wasn't a treasurer. So I'm trying to figure out what happened here. So I asked Alderman Kurtica and Colleen Ezzo, you know, what did they have? Did they have a copy of my declaration? And I believe they told me at one point, yes, they had it. But what's crucial to that is the back page, which is the calculation that is done by the assessor. And I asked if they had that. And I didn't get an answer, but I don't think they had it. So what their answer to me was that, and listen, again, my bill is minuscule. We're not talking about a lot of money here, but I'm talking about trying to understand and a process that for somebody that's going to appeal or have a due process right or have a hearing or get information as to why did my assessment change? It's the bottom line. Why did my assessment change? With an explanation. And I was told that somebody would get back to me. They talked to the assessor and somebody would get back to me. Well, nobody got back to me until I got my letter on March 31st I have it all with me, and I just only because I'm a little neurotic about paperwork and keeping things, and that's the attorney in me. So I got my letter back March 31st. And it was from the Board of Assessment Appeals, and it has my name, blah, blah, the location of my office, my account number, my assessment, original, adjusted, same number. Change, no change. And it says this is not a bill. Your next recourse is to, actually, I could have skipped that process, and I could have gone right to the Superior Court. Not, I wasn't going to do that. So my next process would be to the Superior Court. I'm not going to do that. It's not worth my time, money. So what really got me to come here was what was attached to this letter, which was copy my declaration, the pertinent sections, and the calculation. I fill out three sections. Two of the three are correct. Third one is a different number from what I put in on my sheet, doubled. It's the expense of office expense, doubled. What I put on my sheet, not even my sheet, my number doesn't even show up here, doubled. Again, very minimal number, but doubled. To me, that's pretty, it doesn't sit well with me. Because now you're changing what I wrote on here. And in turn, change that assessment number. Now I got where I got the number from. I should say where the assessor, Betsy Chris, got the number from. And the other thing that I didn't even notice till before I came here, the first page of my declaration is stamped received November 1st, 2024. That's totally incorrect because I have it on October 31st and received a receipt from Lauren. The other thing is it's not even signed. So I'm assuming it was the tax assessor because I think she's the only one who has authority. I might be wrong on that. Not even signed. So why I'm here is that the process needs to change. If someone, and I know years ago, when you got, and I believe it was the time I appealed, because I have every year of every declaration in a stack, and I believe it was from the 2019 appeal. If it's going to change, you should be getting on your, when you get that change, it should say, you know, section number one, you put 20, and now it's 40. There's no explanation. And to tell me that somebody was going to contact me, the tax assessor couldn't pick up the phone and say, you know, Barbara, you know, this is what we got here. We're changing. And who is she to know what I spend on my office expense every month? I've been around a long time, and I could tell you that I probably still have paper clips that I bought 10 years ago because you got 1,000 boxes when you bought them. Okay, I'm a one-person show. I don't spend a lot of money anymore. Yeah, after 35 years of practicing law, you do things a little differently. So that just didn't sit well with me that number isn't depreciated. That number goes into your assessment. So that number doesn't, the value doesn't go down. So sorry if I took too long, but I think it's an important aspect of government, especially in this times of paying, you know, tax bills, everything, you know, everybody being taxed and people are looking to save money and to do things, but it's the process. The process has to change. And yeah, I can't fault, you know, the makeup on the, you know, I believe I asked that day. I'm sure I asked, but you know, the tax assessor wasn't there. She's not part of that negotiation of what the number should be on an appeal, but she should be, they should have the tools in front of them that they need to make a decision. And she should have been available. Bottom line, she should have been available. Thank you.
Thank you, Barb. I will certainly look into that. All right. Anybody else in the public like to speak?
Do I have to push it?
No, you're good.
It's on?
Yeah.
Mark Anthony Izzo, 328 Olivia Street, Derby. Mayor, members of the board, also a former alderman. I used to be very involved, but those days are done. I am before you here today with a question and a suggestion. The question is, as I came down Elizabeth Street here, I noticed that there's no do not enter sign to the park over there. So is it okay to go across Route 34 into the lot that's across the street? It's a rhetorical question. You can you know, research it and get back, because there is no do not enter sign. So I was just wondering if it's okay to go in that way. And the other thing is a suggestion. Excuse me. Although I used to be very involved, I did make a couple of meetings, not too, you know, in the recent past here. And I've heard some people talk about Derby Avenue and how they speed on it. And also I'm seeing the comments on Facebook. Now, you can make comments on Facebook, but if you don't come here, you know, and present a case, nothing's going to happen. So my suggestion is, I happened to be in Long Wharf last week, and if you haven't been there recently, they have what's called a speed hump and a speed table. It's basically a speed bump, but it's a little bit wider. And if you speed over, I'm sure it's going to damage your vehicle. And to me, I'm pretty sure those are state roads there. And you're right, that's a highway there. So what I want to do, I want to submit this for the record. I don't know which committee to approach to, so maybe it could be handed down to committee and maybe research it and see if this is something we can do on the Derby Avenue side over here between that side and that side. You know what I'm talking about. So basically, I'm just going to submit this for your discussion.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Pass it out and look at it if you want to look at it. Anybody else in the public like to speak? Anybody else in the public like to speak?
Mr. Mayor, members of the board, how are everyone tonight? So I just have a few things that I just wanted to... My name is Gino DiGiovanni, 77 H Street. Last month when we had our Board of Aldermen meeting here, it was brought to my attention from people on Zoom that when the meeting broke up before you guys went into executive session, that there was a member of the board that was caught on a hot mic discussing some personal feelings about some people that were in the audience. I want to bring it to everyone's attention because elected officials should be held at the highest standard. And we all know that every taxpayer and person in the city expects our elected officials to be the best of the best. So I want people to know what went on for members of the board so that it doesn't happen. I know it's a new technology. Maybe people don't know what happens, but in the end, it could be serious consequences, not just for the city, but maybe for people or for litigation or for anything before you guys go into the executive session. It was on the Zoom meeting, and that's how I found out, because obviously I was here. So I just wanted everybody to know about that. And I had spoken to a member of the board about it as well. So hopefully we'll work some things out with that. And then the last thing that I just wanted to say is that I just wish everybody a happy Easter. Like I did Mrs. Deej, I haven't seen her in a long time. And there's an Easter egg hunt at Osborndale on the 19th. I hope everybody can make it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public like to speak? Anybody else in the public like to speak?
Mayor, I'd like to speak. Mark Garfalo, town clerk. Just a couple of points of information for the board. Just like to note for the record to congratulate Chief Mike Glode, who finished his term of office, and there's a testimonial dinner for him this weekend. Also want to congratulate Derby Police Department Lieutenant Salvatore Frascino, who just announced his retirement from the department after many years of service. So we have two bits of good news and two bits of unfortunate news. One, just asked the board to pause for a moment of silence to remember former Alderman Joseph Bamba, who passed away since your last meeting. And also our veteran service officer, Paul Lutzen, who served the city for more than a decade, helping tirelessly helping veterans here in the city of Derby and beyond. He was here every week on a volunteer basis to support them, help find housing and benefits for veterans. And it's a tremendous loss to the veteran community and to our City Hall family here because he was here every week. So just ask you to pause for a moment to remember former Alderman and Police Commissioner Joe Bamba and our Veteran Service Officer Paul Lutzen. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public like to speak? Anybody else in the public? Third and final time. Anybody else in the public like to speak? Hearing none, public portion is now closed. Okay, 6.1, approval of minutes. There are none this month. 6.2, refund of taxes. Move to approve monthly tax refunds in the amount of $10,126.26, dated April 9th, 2025.
So moved, Sarah.
Made by Sarah. Is there a second? Second by Rob. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. 6.3, appointments of boards and commissions. 6.3.1A, move to approve to appoint Richard Bartholomew as a regular member of the Planning and Zoning Commission, effective immediately and expiring on February 28th, 2030, to replace Raul Sanchez, whose term expired in February 28th, 2025. Do I have a motion? Made by Ron. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Sarah. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. 6.3.1B, move to approve the appointment of Anello D. Malerba III as an alternate member of the Planning and Zoning Commission, effective immediately and expiring on February 28th, 2030, to replace Daniel Blitzman, whose term expired on February 28th, 2025. Do I have a motion? Made by Rob. Is there a second? Second by Amy or Jess. I'm sorry. Jess, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. 6.4, Mayor's update. A little lengthy tonight since I didn't get one last month, but we'll get through it, I guess. I am pleased to welcome Pet Zone to Derby. They are located in Big Y Plaza, and we wish them well. We went to a ribbon cutting there. It was a very nice little ceremony they had, so we welcome Pet Zone. We also welcomed Umi Buffet, held their grand opening last month, where I was honored to cut the ribbon to welcome them to Derby. They are in the ShopRite Plaza and have had large crowds since opening. We wish them much success. That was attended by some aldermen, alderwoman, so it was another good grand opening. Girls volleyball pizza party for making the state tournament. I want to congratulate the Derby Girls High School volleyball team for making the state tournament. I treated them to a pizza party to recognize their success and wish them congratulations. I started that as soon as I became mayor. Any team in Derby that made the state tournament, I throw them a pizza party to just congratulate them on a good season. So it's fun to have another one. Read Across America at Irving School. It was an honor of Dr. Seuss's birthday. I participated in Read Across America by reading to the kindergarten class at Irving School last month. It was definitely a fun morning. Fun to read to the little kids. They're so excited to see people come in and read to them. So it was a really nice day. Logan Batone and Quentin Simjow, Troop 3's newest Eagle Scouts. On behalf of the entire city of Derby, I would like to congratulate Derby residents Logan Batone and Quentin Simjow on becoming the latest Eagle Scouts from Troop 3 Derby. I am proud of their achievements and look forward to hosting them to a special lunch to celebrate their success. On Monday, I was pleased to host Lieutenant Governor Susan Bicewitz and Connecticut Commissioner of Veterans Affairs Ronald Welch in honoring the Korean and Vietnam area veterans from Derby at the Derby Middle School. It was a very moving and emotional event, and we thank all who attended. We had a great turnout for that event, and it was really a special evening. 2025-26 budget. On Tuesday, the Board of Apportionment and Taxation, in a bipartisan effort, unanimously adopted the 2025-26 municipal budget. It is a balanced budget that requires no increase in the mill rate, thanks to the finance staff and tax board for a job well done. Brian, again, thank you for all your hard work in getting that together with me. I appreciate it. 350th anniversary celebration. Next month, we will begin our year-long celebration of Derby's 350th anniversary. There are a number of events that are planned throughout the year that will kick off on Derby Green on Tuesday, May 13th, 2025, with a brief ceremony, concert, and opening of the 300th anniversary time capsule. There will be an exciting weekend celebration on May 30th, 31st, and June 1st, 2025. More details will be announced in the coming weeks. Happy anniversary to Derby. A special shout out of thanks to all the volunteers who are working on these events. Your efforts are appreciated. We hope everyone participate in this historic year of events. And then conclusion, I would like to just take this opportunity to wish everybody a very happy Easter and Passover holiday season. It is my wish that we celebrate this spring season with hopes for a successful and memorable 2025, and that we continue to work together to reach our goals for a better Derby. That's my update for the last 2 months. Any questions on that? Seven point one, community relations and blight, no action this month. 7.2, property and development committee.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. 7.2.1, grant for solar lighting on the greenway. Move to adopt a resolution agreeing to apply for financial assistance to the Connecticut Community Connectivity Grant Program to finance installation of smart lighting to the Derby section of the Naugatuck River Greenway Trail, with the understanding that there are no funds required from the City of Derby, and authorize the mayor of the City of Derby to sign said grant application as recommended by the Property and Development Committee, and that is in the form of a motion.
Made by Amy. Is there a second? Second by Ron. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
7.2.2. Request for proposals for lease or sale of the municipal parking garage. Move to adopt request for proposals for lease or sale of the municipal parking garage dated April 9th, 2025, as recommended by the Property and Development Committee, and that is in the form of a motion.
Made by Amy. Is there a second? Second by George. Any discussion?
I have a few questions. I'm just kind of, I guess, brought up to a level here. The parking garage, we currently own, correct?
Yes.
And it needs quite a bit of work. What is the amount of work that's needed as far as financially? I know we applied for some grants and stuff.
We applied for actually, I think, 4 grants. Linda, you want to? You said hit the button, Lynn.
Over the past 2 administrations, 4 grants were applied for, and they were all turned down. The very last one that we applied for was for $900,000, and that was for a Make Safe grant only. So it was just to work on the concrete and the rebar. There was nothing else being done, and that was turned down through Senator Murphy's office. So we feel like there's no other place to go. We don't have the money in the city to do it. I think that there are people out there, some developers who might be interested in taking it over. I've heard a little bit about 3 of them. We thought it was a good plan to put it out there and see what we can do. They can be really creative with this. They could talk about putting some apartments on there. They can talk about a little bit of retail in there. I think the heart of it is, though, that it needs to stay a parking garage, and it needs to honor the 147 contracts that we have from the state, the post office. There's an attorney who's got a few.
Derby Manor
as well. So we would honor those, or we would ask that for to be considered for this opportunity, that the developer would say that they will find a way to do that. It could be one floor at a time.
I was just asking, Linda, what's the amount that it would cost to fix it?
Well, I think at the highest it was $9 million. And that was applied for in the other.
So if somebody was to lease this, they're going to pay that $9 million to fix it, or if they buy it, they have to fix it.
They have to fix it.
And it brings in revenue now for us currently?
It does, not a lot. We barely.
Do you have a number?
I'm sorry.
Do you have a number?
I don't have it with me, Roger.
And what about anticipation of when downtown is redeveloped? What would that number be, Roger, if things are booming?
Well, you know, some of the plans we have include additional parking. Obviously, those are plans that are not yet approved.
No, but revenue for our parking garage. Do we have an anticipated when downtown is completed that revenue can be $250,000 or something? Yeah. I mean, obviously, I just want to look at the avenue is if we were to go out to bond and fix it ourselves, will we get our money back X amount of years, and then will we bring it in $250,000 a year or something? I don't want us to sell it, make a couple dollars every year on property taxes only, when down the road we can make a heck of a lot more. I just want to make sure we've looked at that avenue first.
I can tell you in the dollar figure that Roger gave you, some of that is the parking meters, which would not be a part of the package. Most of the money is coming from the parking meters because there's no one collecting right now in the parking garage. There's only a part-time attendant, so there's no money being collected there.
I hear. I just don't want to sell a piece of property or lease it when obviously it costs money, but if we can, you know, pay for it down the road and then make money in the long run, more money in the long run, I just want to make sure we look at that also. That's obviously my concern. You know, it's the knee-jerk reaction. Get it off our hands. It's a headache off our lap. But in the long run, it may be better to bond it out, fix it. Again, I don't know too much about it. Again, I haven't followed it. I'm trying to get up the task here. But, you know, if it's currently in use, I mean, is $9 million like the lowest amount to fix it? I mean, that's a high number, obviously. Well, can we fix it and update it enough to that it's less than $9 million?
$900,000 was the figure last year.
I mean, well, that's the case. We're making $100,000 a year on it now, and downtown's not even done yet. I mean, that's only 9 years away before that's paid back, and then we're making that money. Like I said, it's only going to go more use as downtown gets booming. And once we lose it, we can get back. So I just wanted to bring that to everybody's attention. That's all.
Any other questions? Well, it's basically where we're getting the most of our money at the moment. People are still using it. So that would be up to you. If you don't want them, we can take them out. But I think the plan was to leave them.
Well, there's none there now.
Okay.
I wouldn't think so.
Okay.
So it's just, I mean, there are other ways to generate money than putting coins in meters. Obviously, there's technology that's currently in the parking garage where you have to go on your app and pay on app, which is what I believe most municipalities have moved to. So I would encourage us to look into something like that. That is where some of the money does come from, the parking garage. I think there was a time where we were making $100,000. But recently it's probably down to less than $30,000. And truthfully, it doesn't even cover the costs of what it costs to even put the part-time person there and do the maintenance we're doing there. So, I would say right now it's really, I don't want you feeling like we're walking away making $100,000 right now. We are not. We are probably barely break even, if not likely losing money with some of the money we put in there. And I do think we should charge for parking, but I agree, don't put the meters in and have everybody pay coins, and we try to evolve into something that's a little more technology ready. Thank you.
I have another question. So do you have a number that it would be that if we were to sell it, what we would bring for as far as property taxes? I'm assuming that we'd get to sell the money, obviously. Then what would it be yearly? That you have an estimate of what that would bring in?
Can I just point something out there? You don't know what you're going to get for proposals. You don't know exactly what you're going to get. When you get the proposals, you're not bound to take them. Going out with the RFP just means you're going to see what you get. You don't have to do it if it's not something the city's looking to do. And it could be something when you get the proposal, you can do an analysis that Brian and his team can do a fiscal analysis and tell us what that will generate based upon projections. So it's just a, I think you're putting your, you're testing the marketplace for that asset, that challenged asset. That's all. Just wanted to say, because they can't calculate, they can guess, but let's see what people say they can do with it.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
7.2.3, request for waiver of Payton Field House great room rental fee for FBI-LEEDA Executive Leadership Institute Trilogy Training. Move to waive the rental fee for the use of Payton Field House great room for the FBI-LEEDA Trilogy Training from May 12th, 2025 to May 16th, 2025 for the Derby Police Department. They will receive complimentary training seats based on the number of attendees. And this is as recommended by the Property and Development Committee, and that is in the form of a motion.
Motion made by Amy. Is there a second? Second by Dave Chevrolet. Any discussion?
Question. What's the cost okay, to rent that facility? What's the cost going to be to the Derby Police Department? So is it a wash? It makes sense. Are we losing money? Depends on which category it's falls into, right?
Yeah, we're doing
that. And I can't remember, like, they talked about the tuition that they would.
They did.
They definitely save on tuition.
Yeah, they're saving on the seats.
They're getting free training. Same here? Yeah, yeah. That's really the big bonus of sure. That yeah. Is they get the free training, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And they already hosted one event, right?
Seats are valued at $1,590. And so we are anticipating receiving $2,385 in free seats. So I think that was more than the cost of the rental fee. I thought it was like $1,300, but I might be making that up.
Mr. Man, they already did some training with the FBI in another building in the city, right? But there was issues with parking and stuff.
Yeah, they did here.
Yes. Yeah, it was here.
Major issues with parking.
This area. Yep.
And I think too, Rob, it was noted that the custodial fee is never waived. Something that gets waived.
Yeah.
For long. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. 7.3, Finance and Public Safety Committee.
7.3.1, authorized request for proposal beginning with the fiscal year 2024-2025 auditing services for the City of Derby, Board of Education, and Water Pollution Control Authority. Move to authorize a request for proposals for auditing services for the City of Derby, Board of Education, and Water Pollution Control Authority, beginning with the 2024-2025 fiscal year, as recommended by the Finance and Public Safety Committee. And I'll make that in the form of a motion.
Motion made by Sarah. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Amy. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Oh, I have a discussion. No.
You want to discuss it?
Yes. Well, counselor, as this is, I believe, a professional services, and while I don't, again, it's not about whether we'll do it or not, this is really about, in the city, there's often too frequently quoted as, this is professional services, I do not need to do a bid. And while I am not a fan of that, since we're here talking about this, I think it is important that all the directors and commissioners understand that this board has the ability to change that part of the charter. And I believe you're going to tell me that since any provision in that section can be waived, that really what the motion should be is to waive the section in 55 for making purchases that says, notwithstanding the foregoing, bidding shall not be required for any goods or services purchased from a bid list, from another government entity, or for professional services. If that section is waived, then the need to go out to bid for the audit services makes sense. But in theory, that could apply to any professional services, and that's where I think it's important we all understand that that's what this, you know, is happening here.
I, before he repeats it, Gino, let me just try this because I want to make sure that I know what I'm being asked. I think you're asking for a broader, you're asking a broader question than just whether they should do a request for proposals for auditing services. You're asking if, let me say it like this. The charter authorizes bid waivers, the competitive bidding process being waived. And then the charter talks about, I believe, professional services and perhaps another category, state bid list. That's right. And let's just look at that provision for a second, because I want to be clear about one thing. Is this section?
Section 55.
55. And I'm looking at it right here. Open right to it.
Second page.
Bidding shall not be required for any services. Goods are only provided. So that last sentence that you're referring to, any provision of this section may be waived upon the vote of six members of the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen. That section has always been applied to the requirement of bidding for those in excess of $15,000. When any purchase of goods or services in excess of $2,500 but less than $15,000, the department head shall obtain three written proposals. That last sentence has been applied to that requirement probably from time to time. Let's see. It hasn't been applied, if you will, to what is almost like a double negative. Section 55 can say that bidding is not required, right? It's not required for professional services. We all know, for example, everybody here will agree, I think, that accounting is a professional service. You might argue about some other things, but we all know accounting, certified public accountants licensed by the state of Connecticut, that is a profession, that is a professional service. So it's not required. But that doesn't mean you can't do it. I don't think you need to. You're not going to waive the fact that it's not required. You can choose to do a request for proposals or bidding when it's not required. And I don't believe that's a waiver. That's something different. That's a distinction, I think, with a slight difference. You could always choose to go out with a request for proposal versus the fact that bidding is not required for professional services. I think that's the question you're asking. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that's it.
So, yeah, you're basically saying this board has the authority to, by putting a motion in to say you're going to have the RFP, it will supersede this section that says...
It's not superseding. It's not required. They could choose not to. The board can choose not to do it. Board can decide we're not going to do bidding. It's a professional service. It's not required. It's not even, you don't even need a waiver. It's not a waiver.
No, but it's not about not doing. This is about doing. Let's say I was not inclined. Let's say I just said, I'm not doing, I do not want to do an RFP, and I'm going to use the part of the charter that says I do not have to because it's professional services, right?
You can do that.
Yeah, but if
the city authorized, if this board authorizes an RFP, then that's how it's going to be done.
Okay.
They can require that. They can choose to get proposals from a variety of accounting firms, big and small, you know, and look at them and decide what fits. You can do that. You're not preempted from doing that because if you chose not to do it, you don't have to.
So for any professional services, this board could require an RFP at any point?
Yes.
Fair enough.
There's nothing here that would prevent them from doing that. On the other hand, they don't have to do it.
No, I get that they don't have to. That's clear. It's the more of doing it, right? Because as we talked about going forward, a lot of people use it, right? So this could be very helpful in instances where, you know, where like I have no problem doing it, but I'm sure plenty of folks who would have problems.
They have talked about some very large contracts.
Right. There are very large contracts that have been given services
that you can do, this board can choose to do requests for proposals on. And, you know, that has.
Mr. Mayor, if I may shed some light on it, Mark Carfalo, this provision regarding the professional services and this whole thing is new to the charter. And Mr. Hyder chaired the Charter Revision Commission in 2020 when this was approved. And it was never contemplated in all of those discussions. And correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Former Chair of the Commission. It was never intended for people to say it's professional services, so we're never going to go out to bid on this stuff, or we're like going to roll over and play dead on that. It was the previous section of the charter just said you had to go out to bid. And if you didn't go out the bid, you needed a waiver that was unanimous of the whole entire board.
And can I just
this was to say if there was a legit thing, a state bid, but really a state bid for physical items or things that they have on a state bid list. But it was also supposed to be by resolution policies drawn up, and the height of the dysfunction and abuse of that section happened in the last previous administration, the last 2 years of the previous administration, as it related to all of those things. And when those things were brought forward by the previous finance director, basically she was sent to Siberia. I mean, and that was basically more or less of what. So this is really incomplete. This, you know, was put in place, but the whole idea was for the board to say, hey, what is professional service, and how, you know, what is the policy going to be? Because even now, the finance director, I support his point. Like it's manipulated to the benefit, so hardly anything goes out to bid, or is bid from a list. So it really needs to be tightened up, which is really a separate discussion of what, you know, of this thing that's before you tonight. And one other thing as it relates to the audit. Sorry, counselor. Don't forget, we've had the same auditors, and we've been to, in the last 10 years, two to three financial crises, or 12 years, if you want to go back. You know, it's not been that long. And so most towns go out to bid or go out for proposals, even though it's a professional service, because how would you procure it? You don't just pick the mayor's buddy, or not. In this case, but they usually go out every 3 to 5 years. We haven't gone out in like 20 years.
I just want to say one thing, just to give one more example of what I was talking about. The charter doesn't require bidding, if you will, for professional services. Section 55 is clear. But that, as I said, doesn't mean you're prohibited from doing that. And I'm going to give you a perfect example. School construction. School construction, you're going to retain an architect. Well, You're also going to do a request for proposal every time you do school construction. And the state, because you want reimbursement, the state requires that. So you would do that in that circumstance. In the old days, a lot of towns and municipalities didn't do requests for proposals for architects for school construction. And then the state said, no, we want that. So your charter requires, doesn't require bidding for professional services, but if you choose to do that, you can do that. And that's what that's all I want to say.
And that's
prohibited. 55 isn't a double negative. You're not prohibited, and you don't have to waive it. Yeah. You can just authorize it.
That's a great example, because unfortunately, right, we went out, we gave an engineer the work without an RFP to build to design a $60 million new water treatment plant. Now, yes, we'll go to RFP after they're done. After they've spent the $3 million to do the design work, and I'm sure whoever bids is going to be bidding on that $60 million water treatment plant, but we didn't go out to RFP for the engineering services. We didn't look at any other options as to what are we going to do with this plant other than demolish the thing and build something completely new. So, thank you. Well, I mean, that's the other big problem, right? Is how does the board even find out about these things? Because no one's going to come up here and voluntarily and say, hey, look, I'm going to use professional services and I'm just going to go pick out and do these things. They just do them. And unless you're in the know or somebody's telling you about it so that you can, you know, have one of your subcommittee meetings and say, hey, no, look, we're going to do an RFP on this and you can stop it. How are you going to even know? Right? The WCA board passed it based on professional services. Here you go, sign it. You know, so.
All right, thanks, Brian. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 8.1, new business. 2024-25 capital plan revisions. Move to approve revisions to the 2024-2025 capital plan as approved and recommended by the Capital Planning Commission on March 24th, 2025. Do I have a motion? Made by George, is there a second?
Second.
Second, Rob. Any discussion? Good.
What is the basketball court location? Is that the one on Quintella?
That's the one, yeah, on Nutmega. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
And the resurfacing of the baseball fields, does that include all of the schools and Derby Little League field or just the schools?
Yeah, as far as getting clay for the fields, it will be Bradley School and Little League getting clay.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 8.2, lot set project L036-0002. Commitment to fund, a discussion, possible action.
Mr. Mayor, I move to authorize Mayor Joseph DiMartino to execute the commitment to fund later date, March 27, 2025, for the local transportation capital improvement program, LOTSIP, for the project known as Division Street and Seymour Avenue Safety Improvements for state project number L036-0002.
All right, that's a formal motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Amy. Any discussion?
I just have a question.
Yep.
This is all covered by DOT, or is there stuff we're funding?
No, so this is covered by the grant, 3.8.
But none of it's us. No. It's all state money.
Yes. For the architect designs.
Next.
Okay.
Brian, can you let us know when those ARPA funds were expended? Potentially.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mean if
you know now, great.
No, I don't.
No.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 8.3, contract extension for Avenue Insights and Analytics for Land Records Management Services. Move to authorize the contract extension between the City of Derby and Avenue Insights and Analytics for Land Records Management Services as recommended by Corporation Counsel. Is there a motion? Made by Rob, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ron. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number 10, executive session, 2 Factory Street property acquisition. I need a motion to go into executive session at 7:57, inviting Corporation Counsel and Linda Fusco.
Double.
Made by Ron, is there a second?
Second.
Second by George, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Barbara, good seeing
you. Yeah, all right, so for the folks that are online, I'm going to just mute the mic here because there's none of the aldermen are online. So I'm going to leave you in the room and we'll mute all the mics and then we'll put the mic and the recording on when we're done with the executive session.
Okay, like need a motion to come out of his executive session at 8:12. Got a motion? Made by George, is there a second?
Second, Sarah.
Second, Sarah. All in favor? Opposed? Carries. Number 11, regular session action from executive session, 2 Factory Street. No action. Okay, number 12, motion to adjourn, Ron. Is there a second? All in favor? Very good meeting.